Hello and welcome back to Dream Girl. I don't need to introduce my guest today. You've seen her before. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Back on popular demand.
A very popular demand. Honestly, till date, every day there's a reshare of one of our reels.
Of course.
Right.
I see it online all the time. Yeah.
People loved our conversation, so we had to give them a part two. So
it is real. It's raw.
Yeah.
People like these things.
How are you?
No BS. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Can you believe it's been 2 years?
You told me when I first entered, I'm shocked. Time flies.
It really does. It was 2023.
I mean, it's only Jan right now, and it feels like 2025 has been a whole year.
Why is January not ending? You know, last week when someone told me, you know, next week is still January, I was like, oh my God. You know,
it's because there's a lot of energy shift in the earth, in the alignment of the universe, the planets, all of that. So there's a lot of energy shift. So time will change. A lot of things will change. You can even feel you're tired physically. Frequency is changing, yeah.
I do. You know, a few weeks ago, last weekend, right, when all the planets aligned?
Yeah.
What does that represent?
Is on the 29th, yesterday? 29th?
Yeah.
29th was a full moon and it was the strongest, like, alignment. So it was a...
What does that mean?
They're all open energy portals. That's it. You know, energetically, are you going to manipulate the energy and use it for your good? Or are you going to act like, ooh, beautiful moon, beautiful lunar, beautiful whatever? And a lot of people look at these things as like just beautiful things to look at, but they're way deeper than that.
Well, starting the year on the best foot forward. Yeah. So what is the theme of 2025 for you?
The theme of 2025 is trust your intuition. It's like the universe, like, bitch, I told you. That's my scenario for like my whole year 2024. It's like, we told you, you're not listening. And I think that it's the most profound lesson you can ever do and learn, which is to strengthen your intuition muscle. Take it to the gym, believe it, trust it. And the more you do, now I see the difference. The more I trust and honor my intuition, the more my connection with the universe and signals that I get stronger. And it's more like in my face. Usually it's like a hint here and there. I'm like, ooh, nice coincidence. And the universe is like, that's not a coincidence. That's an algorithm. Wake up. So the thing is, at the beginning, I used to say, oh, cute, coincidence. Until like I had my awakening and I looked deep into it. And it's God is constantly talking to you. The universe is constantly talking to you. Pay attention. And, you know, when we first started, you asked a question. I answered it. And then the clock was 333. And I told you, see, the universe approves. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what does that mean? So a lot of people don't take it seriously. But if you take your spiritual magic or power and utilize it in a 3D experience, that's alchemy. But a lot of people are sleeping. They don't even know their purpose. They don't even know what their magic they have within. They don't know anything about their powers. So, but you can see a huge shift where people are waking up. Hopefully everybody wakes up.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful to have this experience with a mindset of up there, like very 5D spiritual soul level intelligence, but to understand that I'm on a human experience. So take that magic and mix it with this. Life is perfect. Manifestation is easy. Attracting is easy. So it's all the frequency you put within life that attracts the life that you're looking for.
Okay, let's talk about this when you say manifesting is easy. Yeah. So, you know, I keep hearing about it. A lot of people hear about it. And I know, even me, I feel like I want to do it.
Yeah.
But I know there is a piece of me that doesn't believe that this is possible. Is that what's blocking me?
Yeah, we're programmed. You imagine I'm 39. I turned this month 39, right? 39 years of my life, people told me that miracles are not true. Magic doesn't happen. You got to make things happen. You can't think of something and get it. You have to work hard to get it. It's a rat race. So we're stuck in it. Only when I got rid of that limiting belief, and it's hard in the beginning because you're like, okay, I want to, but no. But I want to, but what if? But there's this thing inside of you, and that's the programming. That's the matrix. That's the system. It's not on the outside. It's inside of you is the limitation. And that's when you go like, okay, I got to, you know, the only way to move through and to get through is to remove these limiting beliefs. And I'll explain to you manifestation in a very easy way because I see people posting online and everyone's like, I'm journaling all these positive thoughts. I have the man of my dreams, the house of my dreams, the job of my dreams. She shuts her book. She looks at me. She's like, babe, and all the men are players in this life.
Why are you dragging me like that?
I know. And then I look at her. I'm like, wait, didn't you just write men are beautiful? I want to find the right man. The universe does not read what you write. It listens to what you believe you deserve. Mm. So if she turns down and closes the book after writing all these positive affirmations, and she looks at me and she says, there are no good men in this world. Guess what? The universe doesn't listen to this. It listens to that. What you believe you deserve, it listens to. And this is why a lot of people are like, oh, I always meet the wrong person. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's happening. Okay, and then when you sit and have a conversation with them that's deep, they'll go like, yeah, but all men are bad. Mm. Well, that's what you believe in, that's what you're attracting, that's what you're receiving. But if you believe, no, there are good men, then you'll meet good men. So it's a radio frequency. Let's say if the radio plays a song on 1.4, okay, and you're on 1.3.9, you hear a buzz. It's not clear. So as long as you're on the right frequency, fully tuned in, then you will receive the magics of this world. Then you will have all of this. So what I write in my manifestation journals, all crap. It's good to write it though, because you're putting an intention, you're putting energy in writing and all that. You're leaving a trace from your energy. Mm-hmm. It's like finding a book that's ancient from Pharaoh's times. You're like, oh my God, they touched it. They wrote in it. This is their energy. Same thing. Yes, open the journal, write positive things. But if you don't believe them, don't waste your time writing. You know, it's cute. And a lot of people do it because it's woke and it's a cool thing to do.
It's fiction at this point. Yeah,
it won't work. It won't work at all. But only when you believe you deserve things and only when you know you're going to get them, you receive them. Like I get scared to think of things now. Like if I want something, I have to really think, because whatever I put out there, I manifest immediately. And it's scary. You even manifest bad things. Like if you think negative, you get negative. Mm-hmm. And you become stronger in it the more you take that muscle to the gym, the more you believe in it, the more you remove limiting beliefs, the more you break the system, which is not out there, but it's inside of you. Mm. So yeah, manifestation is tricky, easy, but very tricky. And everyone can do it. It's not like I'm gifted or you're gifted. Mm-hmm. Every single person has magic inside of them. But if you're stuck in logic, you miss out on the magic. It's very, that's like most common sense I can tell you. You know, that's it.
So got to switch off that logic expectation.
Why? And I always say, why think if you can feel? And people walk into rooms and they're like, oh, I feel a negative feeling. Mm. And then they go from their body feeling something to their head. Oh, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm having a bad day. Maybe she's gaslighting herself. But the truth is, whatever you felt, that is your intuition. That is the energy. That's the frequency. That's you being a piece of God. That's all of that. Why are you dimming it with thinking? So I always say, why think if you can feel? Just get out of your head, drop in your heart and feel. That's it. And you don't need any explanation. It's as simple as that. Yeah. Mm. So energy is everything. It's undeniable.
Yeah, I'm trying to switch that on where I know what I want and what I have. Yeah. And I'm trying not to think, how do I get it? It's not my problem. The universe has to figure out how.
No.
No.
Okay, so this is the trick, right? This is what a lot of people think. Yes. They think that I'm just going to sit and say I want this and the universe is going to bring it to me. Mm. That's not how it works. Okay. And in every religion it's mentioned. Mm-hmm. In my religion, it says, أسعي عبد وأسعي معك. It means God's telling you, you work hard, I work harder. Mm. So you cannot receive without working towards it.
Yeah, now, you tie your camel first, right?
Yeah. So now the process of manifestation and getting what you want and all that is not sitting down and knowing exactly what you want. Mm. I want a blue Toyota Camry and a house on the beach and a bird, a parrot, specifically with yellow hair. Yeah, great. Now we know what we want, right?
Yeah.
But the point is, how you put that message in the universe is important. How you believe in the message is important. You have to do the work. The result, you leave it to the universe, which means I will do whatever it takes to reach where I want. Mm-hmm. But if I don't reach there, it's fine because I believe in doing the work, but the results are surrendered to God. And that's the art of surrendering to God.
You're right.
And the universe. Mm-hmm. And whatever outcome comes out, good or bad, it's all for me. You know, everything is for me. It's either a lesson or a blessing. It's never wrong. It's never a mistake. Mm-hmm. And this is why I urge a lot of people, just go out and do mistakes. No, I'm going to go to hell. Nobody's going to go to hell. Go do mistakes. That's how you learn. How do you know you're full of empathy if you are not put in a situation where your empathy is challenged? How do you know that you're patient if you're not put in a situation where people are playing with your patience. How do you know that you're not a cheater if you've not been cheated on? Mm. How do you, if God doesn't put you in situations to test you, how would you learn all these things about yourself? How would you know all these things? So it's the hardship that builds character, and it's character that allows me to know myself. And only through hardship I do that. And pain is such a beautiful teacher, but people don't realize that, sadly. It's such a beautiful, profound teacher. And every person that hurts you is your master, is your teacher as well. So I want to, I'm always sending prayers and gratitude to everyone that broke me, that hurt me and all that. I will stand up for myself 100% and I will take it down. Okay. But I'm sending you so much love and healing and prayer. I have no animosity. I have no anger. I have no envy. I have nothing towards you, but I will do whatever is needed to take care of whatever you've done, you know? And this is something I always say. I always say, people go low, we go legal. I don't bother myself. I don't do anything. I'm chilling at home. I'm hugging trees. I'm breathing. I'm yoga. I'm doing all these things. I'm suntanning while you are trying to destroy me. So if you go low, I go legal. Mm. And I have a team and they handle all of these things. But do I fight for myself? 100%. Because that's part of healing. When you have an awakening experience, when you have a spiritual, profound experience and you do deep, deep inner work and shadow work and healing, you realize that, you know, it's nothing bothers you. Like, these things should not bother you. What this person does to you, what they say about you should not bother you. I know myself. I love myself. I know what I can bring to the table. More than enough. Mm-hmm. Your external validation is not needed. Your opinion is not needed. Nothing. You don't need anything from the outside. You're so self-sufficient, right? But at the same time, it teaches you that I am peace, love, and light. But I will peace, love, and light your house on fire if you mess with me. And that's part of healing, because I'll tell you why. Imagine, a lot of people think that healing is, oh, love and light and forgiveness. Oh, they did this to me. I forgive them. I don't need to fight them. I don't need to stand up for myself. I love, this is healing. I'm in a good place. Bullshit. This is trauma bonding, number one. This is people pleasing. This is avoiding confrontation. Mm-hmm. This is you not standing up for yourself because you want to maintain the peace on the outside. But you're okay with going home and having a war internally. What if I said this to her? What if I stood my ground and I defended myself? What if? This is an internal war and you decided to have this instead of having that on the outside. So healing and spirituality means yin yang, black and white. You have darkness, you have light, but you know when to unleash the dark and it's in control, it's tamed. So if you mess with me, I will definitely stand up for myself, because the old version of me that never stood up for herself, never loved herself, never respected herself. Mm-hmm. I wanted to people please. I didn't want confrontation. I didn't want to lose anybody. That girl is gone. You want to find her? She's in the morgue. This is the healed version of me, which is I will stand up for myself, but I will do it with compassion, love, and empathy. But I will fight. I will stand up. Otherwise, I'm betraying myself.
Of course. Yeah. And that's so important.
100%. And people don't get it.
No. And a lot of us don't do it because, as you said, we masqueraded by thinking, no, but you know, I'm over it. Yeah. I don't need it.
You always hear this. I'm over it. I'm not even thinking about it. People tend to forget that we have a conscious and a subconscious mind. Mm. Your conscious mind doesn't think about it.
Yeah.
But your subconscious mind already processed neuropaths and habits based on this incident and trauma and reactions and actions and triggers. Mm. While you're sitting there, you're like, I don't know. And I'm fine. I don't think about it.
I don't need to say anything.
No. You know, every day, and after doing a lot of inner work, every day I sit at home, I go to my room, close the light, put some candles, because the brain functions better when it's dark, okay? Mm. There's no distractions. And I sit and I think, what did I do today? Did I hurt anybody today? Did I say anything? Did I go out of character? Did anything trigger me? And I write notes. Mm. And I update my software every single night. And it's called self-awareness. And if you don't have self-awareness, you're literally a balloon flying in the air, no destination. So I practice that every day. And by practicing this every day, you're mindful, okay? Mm. And what happens is it's hard to build up trauma now.
Yeah.
Because I'm every day checking myself, you know? There's no buildup. We're not doing the same thing we did for 30-something years. So yeah, I do that every single day. I sit and I think, what did I do today? Do I need to fix anything? Because I don't know what I'm going to do in 5 years. Mm. I don't know financially, I don't know success-wise, I don't know anything about my life. Nothing's guaranteed 5 years from now. I don't even care to plan. But I can promise you that every day I'll be a better person than the person I was yesterday. And that's my addiction. Just being better, the best version of you.
Yeah.
And then that ripples in everything, in business. And it's crazy. The more I work on myself, the more I attract money. Because when you, even the limiting beliefs for manifestation, the more you take off blocks, you know, with healing, the more you are like, oh, I get it. Oh, I get it. Like you're connecting dots and lights and like, okay, now I get it. But it all starts with childhood. So you have to go way back.
Always.
Way back. Always. Yeah.
Which is why when you say that, you know, you stand up for yourself, it's also standing up for that childhood version of you.
A million percent.
You didn't stand up. Nobody stood up for that kid, right?
1,000,000%. And not only the child, your ancestors. Like as a woman, I'm standing out for every woman in my lineage. And if you do the inner work and you, you know, you end it with you, you know, it ends with me, the cycle. You are the new ancestors. You are the new lineage. You are, and everyone in your ancestors' lineage, they're praising you. They're thanking you for this because you decided to say it's enough. We come, especially like Middle Eastern Arabs, your part of the world, my part of the world. We come from culture that comes from generations of denial.
Yes.
Nothing happened. Didn't grandfather beat grandmother? No, he was a good guy. And everyone's pretending like nothing is wrong. Until that black sheep in the family decides to say it's enough.
Yes.
You know? And in every family, there's a black sheep. So if you're different, if you're unique, if you think differently, if you believe in things differently,
you question.
You question yourself and then your family compares you to everybody. But the truth is, don't allow that to challenge or change you because you are the chosen one to take all of this down. You know? And embrace who you are, embrace the difference, embrace the change. You don't have to fit in. So every family has that, but it is a heavy duty and it's not easy. Are you willing to take it or are you willing to drop it? There's always someone else who's going to come out from that family that's going to try. But you want it to end with you or you want to pass it to your kids? That's the big question.
That is the big question. Damn, that is a lot. And I think you've touched on so many topics here, right? And a lot of it has to do with us doing the inner work and standing up for ourselves.
Yeah.
While we're talking about this, of course, there's also all the external factors, all the relationships around us. Let's get into the meaty part of it, right? Of course, there's like romantic relationship, there's friendships. Yeah. And I feel like recently what I've been hearing from the past years, a lot of people are now struggling because once you do the inner work, as you said, you start seeing people through a new lens. You start to see your existing relationships in a new lens. What changes did you see mostly?
Look. I'm not going to deny and lie. The healing process is hard, right? And it's not years and years of healing.
Yeah.
No, how determined you are. It's like building a house. The more cash you put in, the faster they build it, right?
Yeah.
With healing, the more time, the more you say, okay, my work can wait. My family can wait. My kids can wait. My relationship can wait. I'm going to put myself first. The more you put yourself first, the more the healing happens faster.
Yeah.
My full-on healing, full-on, happened in a year. But my journey was almost 10 years of awakening and so many things, but proper healing 1 year. In this 1 year, it was very hard because you have to understand if healing can change everyone's life, can make you a manifester, can make you a witch, can make you a magician, can make you an alchemist, can make you the ultimate power, the ultimate experience. Why isn't everyone healing, right? Is it a minority that's healing and doing the work? Why is a lot of people comfortable and they're not doing the work? I'll tell you why. Because healing, it requires an ecosystem, which means if I go do the work, I have to face what I know is right and I've been in denial of, which is a divorce, leaving the friends, leaving the family, leaving the job, leaving whatever it is, the country. So when you go heal, you can't come back to the same environment that broke you. So you have to change your ecosystem. Now, how many people are willing to, A, go do the hard work, come back, make those decisions? No, not a lot of people. Because you'd, like, when I went on my healing journey, I swear to God, I sat down, I said, God, whatever you tell me, whatever you show me, whatever it is, I will let go. Person, business, human, a situation, anything. And I promised, I said, God, I promise you, I swear, I'm not going to be flaky. I'm not going to back down. I will do whatever you show me. And I did. And you have a lot of profound experiences with spirituality that are deep and all that. And whatever God showed me, I did. I shut down 5 businesses. And guess what? In the beginning, when I shut them down and I came back, I was like, oh my God, what did I do? What am I going to do now? And then friends, when I came back, a lot of friends started to show me their true colors. And then I was like, and then I, you know, I have a beautiful relationship with God. We're friends. And I look up and I say, okay, now you're testing me, right? Now you're testing to see if I'm walking the walk or just talking the talk. And I did. I shut down the five businesses. I let go of a lot of business partners. I let go of a lot of friends. I let go of a lot of things. You know what's crazy? It was a little bit depressing. You know, it was depressing because I'm like, fuck, I'm losing everything. What am I doing here? Am I losing my mind? Is this okay? But I decided what? I will do the work and I trust God with the results, right? So that's tawakkul, that's surrender.
Tawakkul, yes.
And after I did that, maybe 2 weeks later, money started to come from every side. You have no idea. You can ask my manager, you can ask anybody. They're like, what the hell's happening? What's happening? What's going on? It's, subhanAllah, like I thank God a million times. Every person negative, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I know this girl. She's a bit negative, but I feel bad for her. She's always around us. We want to, you know, nurture her. No. Where is the self-love? Where is your self-love for yourself? If you have low energy, I do not want you in my circle. I nurture my circle. I provide, I put on the table. And if you don't put the same on the table, and if you're dragging us down, no, my friends are my tribe. We don't do that. So yeah, I let go of friends. I let go of everything. And only then I started seeing a lot of changes in life. And yes, you become lonely for a while. Not alone, but lonely as in like, you're not vibing the same way. You're not chilling with the same people. You're not doing the same things. It doesn't feel your soul anymore. It doesn't feel right. And then it takes a while until you integrate. And part of healing, which is something a lot of people ignore, is integration. Integration is basically, now I have the knowledge. God showed me everything I need to know. I did the healing. The unconscious became conscious. Now, how do I apply it in life? Or am I going to carry this knowledge and live my life pretending like it's fine, although I know it should be this way? Now, integration is important. A lot of people fail here in this part of healing, where they have all the knowledge, they can't apply it. They're back to their toxic habits, toxic relationships, toxic everything. They sleep at night knowing God showed them this is not the way, this is not it. And you know that internal fight, what happens? Cancer, autoimmune diseases, health issues, depression, all of that. We are the creators of our reality. And this is what people don't understand. They always want to say, oh, God's challenging me. God gave me this illness. God gave me this. You gave everything to yourself, you know? And it's part of life. And can you undo what you did? Yes. Do I have friends that have undone their cancer that they've created for themselves because they've stayed in situations? Yes. They're 100% free of it. Only you can do this. No healer, no healing app, no meditation. Only if you remove your limiting beliefs and if you really believe in it and trust God and trust that you are a piece of God, only then you can heal yourself. And this is why, like, even in my healing retreats and my business, when I work a lot with healing with people, I am just the event coordinator. I will create the space. I will put in my energy to hold space for everybody. I will guide. But if you don't do the work, I can't do anything for you. I cannot heal you. I cannot help you. I'm not a magician. You are your own magician. So it's important to show people, especially, an important topic to talk about, which is like spiritual bypassing. In the healing space and spirituality, there's a lot of fake gurus. A lot.
And tell me about it.
It's so dark. I've been with people and I've seen things. And my God, so my advice is, you know, for everyone out there, and I don't want people to think that, oh, I knew spirituality was like voodoo woo stuff. Right. It's not. You know, just like you have bad people in business, you have bad people in spirituality, you have bad people in the healing space. Any space where there's money to be made, there are bad people that exist.
Someone has bad intention, yeah.
But also, like, what I realized is I've seen people pray, not pray. Pray as in, like, an animal pray on you to eat you. I've seen people pray on people who are broken, desperate, in need of healing.
Vulnerable.
And they're vulnerable, and they use them. So please be careful. Please do your research. Make sure you read about everyone you want to heal with. Make sure whatever retreat you're going to, anything you're doing, make sure you read and do your research and due diligence, because they can damage you more than they can heal you, you know? And I've seen healers cause trauma more than they've healed. So be careful. Okay. Yeah, you should be careful. Just like in business. And your money, be careful. Same thing, your energy, be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even in religion, you have people who lead people astray 100%. And make money over it. So that's everywhere.
Yes, because religion is the closest thing to the heart. And how can I get to you? Through your heart.
Yeah.
So let me trick you and suck every coin I have of you.
Exactly.
In the name of a religion.
Mm.
And it's very nasty. And, you know, like, just as much as there are bad people in the entrepreneurial space, in the marketing space, in social media, there is a lot of them in the spiritual community. A lot. And if I tell you stories, like, you go crazy. You go crazy, but that's for another day. But just my advice is do the work, do the healing, but be careful who you do it with. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And I've seen it as well around. And you can tell. Now, as you said, I started trusting my intuition a little bit better.
Yes.
When I think something is a bit off about this person, I'm like, And then you see it and you're like, okay, I was right. This is
once you feel it, don't think.
Yeah.
Even if your friends are like, oh, but Sheen, maybe you're overreacting. You're being negative. No.
No.
I love you. We're friends. Respect me. Right now, I feel I'm off.
Okay.
The thing is, what people don't understand is that my experience, your experience, how spiritually advanced we are in this human experience is different, right?
Yes.
It doesn't mean I'm better than you or you're smarter than me or I'm smarter than you or I'm stronger than you. It just means that I'm on a level more advanced, catch up, right?
Mm.
Anyone can catch up. But yeah, you reach a point where you will, when I used to tell people, I feel weird about this person. My friends are like, my friends are like whispering in my ears and I change my mind about it. And what happens is that's me disrespecting my energy,
literally,
my soul, myself. No more. And if my friends don't accept it, it's fine. If to them I'm being negative, it's fine. I'm just telling them how I feel. And you're allowed to say how you feel.
Mm, yeah. You know the number of times where I feel like something is off about this person, but no one else sees it.
You're right.
And you're like, but I can't even explain it. I can't put my finger on it either. But it's just this feeling. And then at some point it shows up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why did I not listen to myself?
So you have two choices. You said, I felt something.
Yeah.
But I can't put my finger. So you have two choices, which is normal human behavior. You have these ones that follow their intuition. Like, nope, we're not going
blind
in there. We're not eating there. We're not drinking there. We're out.
Yeah.
Blindly follow their intuition, which is beautiful.
Mm.
That's alchemy. Then you have the ones that, for example, okay, I feel weird, but maybe I can sacrifice an hour, half an hour. It's fine. I'm strong. I'm protecting myself. I got this. No one can affect me. That's ego.
That is ego.
That is ego. Mm. When you feel like you're undistractable, you're powerful.
Yeah, I'm in control.
In control. You're not in control of anything but yourself. So right now in this situation, control your ass. Get out of there. That's all you have to do. You don't have to control anyone or think of anybody. Why? And you know, some people go, and I get it. Some people, they will not trust their intuition. They want the universe or God to show them the truth. You have two choices. You want to trust your intuition or you want to go through the journey of learning. And believe it or not, whatever choice you make in that situation is the best choice for you. Because if you're still going ahead with the friendship or that person after feeling like this, it means there's a lesson for you to learn and you're going to keep recycling until you pick it up, which is fine. Go do it. That's why my friends mess up a lot and they keep repeating. I'm like, and my friend's like, we need to stop them. I'm like, nope. No, we're piano's playing in front of a cow right now, playing piano for a cow. She's not going to get it. She's not going to listen. She needs to do it on her own. We planted seeds in her and that's it. You give common sense, but then you let them do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, absolutely.
Okay. But you also have the choice. Mm. Like, for example, I don't want you to think that, oh, just because your friends are in a dark place, you have to stick around from far away.
Right.
No. When my friend does not align with my values, my morals, my ethics, I cut my friend off. As simple as that. Respectfully, I can love you from far away, you know? I don't have to be in your life. We don't have to be in each other's life. And it's not love, light, and healing and spirituality to keep bad people in your energy field. Apology accepted, access denied. I respect you for who you are. I see you. I don't judge you, but I'm out because this doesn't match my vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like mobiles. So we have just like a signal, just like Wi-Fi. If the Wi-Fi router is in this room, if we leave the room, the Wi-Fi is less stronger, right? When you're surrounded by wrong people, your signal to divine, your signal to your higher self, your connection with your soul is severed because there's bad frequencies affecting. You know, so only when you eliminate the bad apple, the other apples thrive. Otherwise, it affects you. So be ruthless, spiritually ruthless.
I'm learning. You know, yesterday I did it for the first time. So there's this person, especially when it comes to like professional relationships, right? I met this girl and from the beginning, I felt like there is something off. Either she doesn't like me or there is something, but her face is not saying that.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I was like, why am I putting myself through that? Like, it doesn't impact my work if this person is not around. I'm just going to take a distance and just not reply. As you said, access denied. Yeah. I was like, that's it. I don't need to do anything. And I felt so relieved after that.
It feels good, right?
Yeah.
I know. It's because that's your soul telling you, bravo.
For the first
She's
time.
She's getting it for the first time. The, you know, your ancestors, your guardian angels are like,
party. And it felt great. And I was like, this shows me that this is the right thing to do. As you said, now I'm a lot more aware of if the vibe is wrong, the vibe is wrong.
100%.
That's it.
But also you have to have discernment because sometimes is the vibe wrong or am I being triggered by somebody? Because in the beginning, I was taught that whatever triggers you is wrong. After healing and doing the inner work, I realized whatever triggers me shows me something about myself that I need to heal.
Of course.
Yeah, 100%. It's not their problem. Whatever they're doing is wrong, but that's not my problem because I have no control over them. But why is it triggering me? Mm. I can just watch and ignore and say, I don't care. I don't like it. It's fine. Mm. But when it triggers you and it ignites something in you, it's something you have to work on. So discernment, not judgment, discernment in situations like this is important. And this is what I do. When I feel something, I go inside, I go like, okay, am I triggered? And I ask my body, am I triggered or am I feeling something? And I swear to God, you get an answer right away. You get an answer only when you put your ego aside. Because I remember there was a girl who used to trigger me a lot, you know, and I'm nice to her, but every time she talks, she triggers me. And everyone says the same thing about her. And I thought maybe it's she's just negative and everyone's picking up the energy. But I sat with myself the next day and I came back and I realized that the reason I don't vibe with her is because she triggers something in me that I'm trying to kill, my ego.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So her ego's strong and she wants everyone to look at her and like her. I struggled with my ego because in a different way, my ego always made me feel like I'm a strong person and I don't need to cry and I got this and I'm the most powerful one. I'm going to hold everyone in the group and the friends and the family together. I'm the savior, which was ego driven.
Yeah.
I thought I was being a good person, but I wasn't. It's ego driven, right? So me in a battle of my ego, when I saw her ego, it triggered me because there was still ego left in me that needed to die. You know? So every person you meet is a reflection of you. They show you something you need to work on, but also don't gaslight yourself because I have a friend that every time she meets somebody and she feels negative, she's like, I am the evil one. I am the broken one. I need to work. I'm like, babe, don't gaslight yourself because sometimes, you know,
you're right,
it's hard. It's hard, but you need to learn. It's like cooking. How people can cook with a book with numbers like 0.5 water. Mm. And there are people who can cook naturally.
Yeah, intuitively.
So same thing, whether it is you're being triggered or you're being, you're feeling something negative, it's you have to learn how to intuitively tune in. And it happens the more you respect your intuition.
Mm.
But the more you disrespect it, the more it gets weaker and you don't get any signs and you're not getting understanding the magic of the world and life and the universe. Yeah.
This is crazy, Sarah, because you're kind of like putting all of my life experiences into buckets right now. Because while you're talking, I can see which goes into what. Because I remember one time I met this one girl and I felt so triggered by her.
Yeah.
Well, you know, where you feel like a deep sense of, I don't like this person.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, why? She's not done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And it's because she reminded me of a younger version of me who felt really uncomfortable in big rooms and would feel the need to perform.
See?
And that's what she was doing. And therefore, I felt this repulsion against it. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, but you know what happens? The conversation changes when you do a lot of inner work.
Yeah.
When they trigger you because it's something in you, the trigger becomes, instead of, why can't I stand her to... I know, I've been there. I see it. Compassion. Immediately. It switches from trigger to compassion. And it's not a magic trick. It's not something I can show you on a website or a YouTube tutorial. It's something that comes with doing a lot of work. And, you know, a lot of the things that I might tell you now might not make sense, but later on you go like, oh, she did. It clicks. I get it, right? But also you said something important. You said, I'm saying things and you're boxing things in your life, right? But right now, what you did is something dangerous. You made the unconscious conscious, right? So now it's a choice. everything from today, leaving this office, you do about the things you're putting in the boxes are a choice. So you're choosing. It's not patterns, it's not habits, it's not unconscious, it's conscious.
It's very
conscious. So now what are you going to do about it? See? That's why a lot of people don't go to do the work, because it's not easy. But once you do it, like now, you're on autopilot. It's easy. My God, you don't get triggered. You're happy whether money comes in or not, whether you're successful or not. It's like you understand the deep meaning of life. And that's what spirituality is. Mm. Everything else, work, business, entrepreneurship, it's just experiences, fun experiences for us to grow and learn in life and create and co-create. Money is the most beautiful energy for creation, you know? But at the same time, spirituality is not that. It's using that to have fun. Great. But what are you doing? Mm. Who are you? What's your purpose? Did you remove your limiting beliefs? Did you? So yeah, it's not easy. It's healing is for everybody, but not everybody's for healing.
Absolutely. Yeah. But clarity is so important, right? Because I feel like the time I feel more anxious about anything, about people, is because I'm not clear on what I should be doing. But for example, I'm just carrying them around because I'm like, we have history. They haven't done anything wrong.
Clarity of where people stand in your
clarity
life?
Clarity about where I stand. You know, as you said, when we've done the healing, some people need to go.
Yeah.
But when I don't have that clarity of these people need to go, I'm just hanging around with them.
Okay. So
in the balance.
Well, you're not listening to yourself. Mm. If your friend calls you and tells you, hey, and you've done a lot of work and you're in a phase where you're confused about your clarity. Mm-hmm. Where am I going? What am I doing? Okay, now I remove the trauma. Who am I? Mm. And that's after healing, that agnostic stage where you don't know what's happening. You're confused. You're lost. You're alone. You feel depressed, but you're happy. But you're not. You're content, but you're not. But you have gratitude, but you're not. That's the most beautiful phase, because that's when self-love enters the room, you know? And that's when you understand that self-love is not traveling, going to a spa or buying the latest bag. It's self-love is what I'm doing right now. Mm. And when you listen to yourself, it's very easy. When your friend calls you and it's like, hey, we're having a birthday party. You want to join us? Take a minute. Feel it. Do I really want to join? No, babe, I can't. Why? What are you doing? Honestly, I don't feel like it today, but I'll definitely make it up for you guys. You don't even need an explanation. You don't need to lie and explain and, oh, my mom's sick, my dad, make up lies. Mm. You're making up lies to hide the truth of what you want to do. How does that make sense? Lying to people because the truth might hurt them. When did this programming happen to us? And we've been living like this all our life. Mm. Just, babe, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling good. And if your friends love you, they'll understand.
Yeah.
But this is listening to your body. It's when you feel like it's a no, it's a no. Mm-hmm. When you feel like I don't want to go, I don't want to go. When you feel like I need to be alone, I need to be alone. When you feel like I don't want to talk to anybody, I don't want to talk to anybody. So embrace the unknown instead of fearing the unknown, because that's where you mold who you are, that you're birthing the new you, the real you, the you that you're going to love, you know, and you're shedding the pieces of you that no longer resonates. So that time where people are like, I'm lost, I'm confused, I don't know what. Embrace it. That's the most beautiful time. That's, you know, and I know it's a little bit of a dark period after the healing, but guess what? Babies grow in dark wombs. Seeds grow under dark soil. So darkness is so beautiful. People fear it and they have this negative thing towards it, but it's not. It's where light shines. So embrace your journey. That's it. And you'll figure it out. But from now on, it's conscious to you now.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? And if you're confused about people for a while, it's okay. If you're confused whether this person, I don't feel good, but I don't know, I don't know what should I do. It's okay. Mm. The only way to find out answers is not by going out with your friends. It's not by spending time with your good friends. Mm. It's being alone. Mm. That's where you get the channeling and you download the information and you have that deep conversation with your soul, with yourself, with God. And that's when you realize things. It's not when you keep yourself busy. Escapism, phone, social media, partying. I mean, they're good for a while, but it'll catch up. Things will catch up, you know? And when you put these things inside and you say, you know what? I'm not running away from the storm. I'm running through the storm, because if I go through it, I get out of it faster. But if it chases me and I run away from it, it'll catch up with me every time I try to rest. Mm-hmm. So it's steps, and it's not easy, but at the same time, so profound. Your life changes in a beautiful way.
Yeah. And I think last time we talked about this as well, where you gave me advice that has stayed with me since then, which is don't go asking for people's opinion. Yeah. You should have your own opinion first. And then you can ask some people yeah. what they think of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's so right, because we don't sit with ourselves yeah. enough to know, what do I actually want? What do I think about this no. situation? We take other people's opinions.
Yeah, and I can challenge you. I can give you a paper and a pen right now, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you, you have morals?
Yeah.
You have values?
Yeah.
Okay. Write down 7 of your values, 7 of your morals. Your struggle.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, I can already think 7 you know is why? Too much.
You're like, oh, honesty? Wait, is honesty a moral or a value?
Which one is it?
Which one is it? Authenticity? Which one is it? The thing is, this is the funny part about us humans. It's just like, I have it. I have morals. We don't break it down. What is it? I have non-negotiables. Write down 5 non-negotiables. Mm. You'll struggle. Because you've never sat with yourself to have that conversation. In my diary, I have my 10 non-negotiables, mm-hmm. my 5 negotiables, my morals written down, my ethics written down, when to bend integrity, because integrity should not bend. I write everything down. And this is how I know myself. And when people do things, I know that it goes against my morals. I don't just fill in the blank. Why are you upset? This goes against my morals. What are your morals? I know, but this is not my morals. What?
Girl. And we do that for companies, don't we? Yeah. For businesses, you're yeah. like, this is the values of the company. Yeah. This is what we do. But we don't do it for ourselves.
But without a business plan, no investor would invest in you. Mm. Without a breaking down yourself into a business plan, understanding yourself, writing it down. Who are you? I have morals and ethics. Okay, yalla, habibi, what is your morals and ethics? 5. Okay, 3, yalla. I'll make it easy. You struggle. What do you want in a man? I want a good man. Write me 10 things you want in a man. You struggle.
Mm.
Because we have that idea. Okay, insert morals. I have ethics. I have this. Mm. I have positivity. The truth is, let's break it down. Do you actually have these things?
We have a general idea.
Do you have a general idea. Mm. But when people go into details, they don't. And this is where people are scared to spend time with themselves. You know, and they're scared of being alone.
Mm.
But that's when magic happens. That's when God speaks to you. That's when you see God. That's when you connect with your guardian angels, your ancestors. You connect with everything in life. The universe has an algorithm. Just, okay, if you go on Instagram and I open my Explorer,
mm-hmm.
you can know who I am by my Explorer, right? If it's naked guys and dudes, you know what I'm doing all night long, right?
Yeah.
If it's abs, you know what I like, right? Hey. But mine is spirituality and podcasts, which it's an algorithm because yeah. that's what I like. That's what I want to see.
Mm.
So without me telling Instagram brings it to me. What do you think the universe is other than an algorithm? You tap in, you your intention, I want this. It goes up there, it comes back, it brings you back. Same as AI. The universe is a miracle machine. Use it, abuse it for yourself. You know, that's it. And people don't know how to manipulate energy. And God's trying to teach us in every religion, every prophet try to show us this. Nobody wants to see their own magic, their own powers, yeah. sadly.
We're so lost in here.
Yeah, we're lost in this organ that is supposed to be not your master, supposed to be your servant.
When you can control it, exactly.
My soul controls my mind, not my mind controls me. Mm. Hell no. And, you know, the best way to look at the brain is to think of the brain as, okay, let me put it for you metaphorically.
Mm.
You are the sky and your thoughts are the clouds, okay? When thoughts come to your head, just like the sky watches clouds move, your thoughts don't define you. You are not your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts are a result from your brain being a machine that stores information subconsciously, consciously processes things all the time, 24/7 processing information.
Mm-hmm.
So just like a computer that knows your habits, knows what you're going to do and everything, same thing as your brain. It's a processing machine, right? But when I react, when I answer, when I get triggered, this is my brain already with neuropaths that are created since I was a kid, processing information. Huh, here's your reaction. There you go. Ta-da. That's not who I am, though. That's an accumulation of information. That's data, right?
Mm.
So only when you understand that you're not this body, your soul. This body is your car. Use it. Use the machine. And only then you will understand how to use your powers and become an alchemist. You know, only when you understand your brain is the most weakest organ, you know? Your most powerful thing is your soul. Is that a lot of people think it's that battery inside that makes the body works and the body is the miracle. No. Yes, everything is a miracle, but your energy is a miracle.
Mm.
And people tend to forget that. they're so attached to this body, to this life, that they tend to forget this is just an experience. It's just a fun field trip.
And it's so short.
It's so short. Very short. Yeah.
Okay. Last thing we need to touch upon. I know we've run out of time, but I just got so lost into talking to you as usual. But okay, question we get a lot from the audience for you.
Is that a relationship question?
Obviously.
Let's do this. Okay.
So all the questions we always get. So one thing a lot of people ask is it okay to still be friends with your ex?
And I'll toxic give you, ex?
I'll give you a for instance.
Okay.
So that's the thing. When you say toxic, it could be, it couldn't. You,
yeah.
What is toxic, right? For instance, we have a situation where someone is still friends with their ex because they were friends before they dated. Yeah. Then that didn't work out. And now the guy is back in her life, talking to her, asking for advice about his girl that he's now seeing.
Excuse me? No. Look, and I okay, think of it as this is the way Sara thinks. Mm. I'm not telling anyone how to live their life, but I hope what I say would plant seeds in some people. And will make some common sense, right? Mm. Your ex, friends can be lovers, lovers can't be friends. And that's a rule that's known. I'll tell you why, okay? And 2-2-2, the universe agrees. Universe agrees.
Yes.
So when you break up with someone, you have energetic ties with them, right? As long as you're in touch with that person, as long as they're in your life, you're feeding that energy lines. And that's why people say cutting cords. I don't know if you heard about it, right? So when you leave a relationship and you are hoping to maintain a friendship, this person has touched your body, has touched your heart, touched your feeling, touched your mind. It didn't work out. Now they want a different relationship with you. I get it. It's beautiful. It's nice. Mm. If there's no animosity, no negativity, why not, right? Mm-hmm. But exes are like residue from the past. So if this person, a man or a woman, are moving to a new relationship, is disrespectful to the person in the relationship. Mm. No matter how open-minded that person is. Imagine I am sitting with my husband and my ex, and then a song plays and it's a song me and my ex used to love when we were dating. How disrespectful it is for my husband for me to reminisce something at that moment.
Yeah.
How easy it is for me to get rid of that ex and not have him in my life and to have that respectful relationship with my man. So exes bring residue from the past. Mm-hmm. If I see one of my exes that I've had an amicable separation from, I would say hi, but I don't need you as a friend in my life.
Exactly.
Okay. But in my case, all my exes were toxic. So if my ex comes and says, let's be friends, I'm like, bro, I was not only your girlfriend, I was your girlfriend and your best friend and you did me wrong. Why would you do me right now, this time around? So hell no, you know? And no, even if it was a good relationship, no. I'm even if I'm single right now and I have no one in my life, but for the man in my life, I'm not hoarding unnecessary relationships till the day I meet this man. Mm. No, I am clearing, clearing, clearing until the day I meet this man. Mm-hmm. And yeah, exes just, they're not a good mix in the equation at all.
No.
And no matter how good they are, you leave them behind because you've been deep in so many things with them.
That's the thing. Yeah. And I think, as you said, it's because most people, if they don't have someone new, they hold on to this because it's some form of kind of like they're filling that void a little. And I 100%. Think that's the problem.
100%. Yeah. People, the thing is, why is he, okay, the question you gave me about the guy asking his ex about his wife.
Yes.
Advice, right? Mm. Number one, he has zero common sense, zero emotional intelligence. Why would a real man, a divine man, call his ex to talk about his wife, knowing this will hurt his wife and this will hurt his ex because his ex might still have feelings for
him? Literally.
You know, what a selfish man. Please. And I know that a lot of women would say, but he's so sweet. After all these years, he's calling me. He loves his wife, but he trusts me and he trusts my advice. No. Wake up. He is disrespecting you, disrespecting himself and his wife. Mm. You don't need to give your ex advice about his wife. There's advice all over the internet. There's thousands of podcasts. There's doctors, there's therapists. There is whatever this person wants to do, can do. But don't be part of this because you're an accomplice, you know? And I don't care how cute you think it is. He doesn't call you because he trusts you, babe. He's throwing a bait for you to keep you in the background just in case. And a lot of men and women do that as well.
Oh, yeah.
To men. And this is not just something that we're not just attacking men over here.
No, women
do this very profoundly as well. So, yeah, just know. Keep your exes in your past. Don't cheat on your future with your past ever, ever. They belong somewhere. Chapter finished. Closed.
Closed.
No, don't read your books backwards.
And that's why a lot of people are like, oh, they always come back. And then people get really excited when an ex comes back. And I'm like, bye.
Why it is? Okay. Whenever an ex comes back after him messing around, dating, being with other people and stuff, and he comes back to you. It's like, okay, so after tasting so many things, trying so many girls, being with so many girls, sleeping next to many girls, now you want to come back to me? No. No, it doesn't work that way. You leave the food, it goes cold. That's it. I'm cold. So don't be an option. Don't be an option. You were never made to be an option. And don't cross oceans for people who won't get their shoes dirty in a puddle to cross for you. Don't. Exes remain in the past for a reason. I mean, if Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez weren't the biggest example. I mean, how many people romanticize this? Oh my God, after 20 years,
they found each other.
Love always finds a way. What's meant for you will never leave you. End of story. Stop romanticizing old stuff. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I saw this reel on Instagram where the girl said, he just came back to check if you're still stupid, and you're telling him, yes, you are still stupid.
Yeah, he's still coming because he knows how to manipulate, how to press your buttons. He want to see if he still has the authority with
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Change the locks, change the keys, change the address. No, you don't need them. And it's not like a lot of people go, but they're nice. My ex is nice. We have a great relationship. He's respectful. Yeah, but if that ex leaves the friend group doesn't fall down, right? You don't need them in your life.
Mm-mm.
And as sad as it sounds, unless you have children with them, then you have to co-parent, you have to meet. And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's unnecessary.
Absolutely.
Unnecessary. Unnecessary drama.
Absolutely. So advice on the dating scene. What advice do you have for women? Because right now, I'm sure you know, people keep saying, it's so hard. I can't find the right person. I keep putting myself out there. Yeah. I know that. I'm just saying what people say. And what advice do you have in terms of how to wait with more grace?
How to wait?
Mm.
Okay. If a woman complains that she's always meeting the wrong people and the dating scene is bad and all that, she's looking for the right one.
Mm.
So the real question is she the right one?
Oh.
Did she do the work? Did you do? Why am I, if I'm attracting this, it's because I'm vibrating on the same level. Mm. If he's a broken man, if he's a toxic man, I am vibrating. It doesn't mean I'm toxic, but it means this is familiar. I might have had it in my childhood.
Mm.
So familiar chaos feels better than boring peace that or unfamiliar peace, right? So this is the thing. The thing is like you would go to toxic things because you've experience toxic things in your life. It doesn't mean you're toxic. It doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't like to accept it. When I say you're attracting, you vibrate low, you attract low. She's like, but I'm not like this man. He beats me up. He this. I'm like, did your dad beat you up? She's like, yeah. I'm like, you're repeating. You're attracting your father because your father was supposed to be your home, your savior. And if your father hits you, it means it's okay.
Mm.
So you're looking for a man that hits you because it's familiar chaos. You're broken. You're attracting a broken man. Simple as that. So my first thing for advice is, if you're looking for the right one, are you the right one? Are you doing the work to be the right one? Are you showing up as the right one? You can't demand things while you're not in the right space.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot attract something up here while you're vibrating down here low with your trauma, with your pain and all that. Just because you think life is great and I don't feel anything, it doesn't mean there isn't anything there that is programmed, pre-programmed in your subconscious. So that's the first advice. Second advice is, don't look. Don't look for a man. Don't look for a woman. They come when you're not looking.
Mm.
They come when you're content. They come when you're fulfilled. They come when you have abundance. They come when you don't need them.
Mm.
Because they're not supposed to be there for you to need them. They're supposed to add value on top of what you already have. I'm a whole. Okay. I have abundance.
Mm-hmm.
A man does not complete me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not complete a man. But if a man can add more to me, yes, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
If a man takes from me, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. But am I empty? Do I need a man to fulfill a relationship? No. So waiting gracefully, don't allow society, age, your eggs, your ovaries, or your grandmother, or your neighbor, or your mom. Don't allow that kind of pressure to make you run towards a decision you regret later and to settle just because you want to tick the box.
Mm.
I don't know who wrote the book of women should be married by this age, pregnant by that age. It's just, this is all culture. This is all societal expectation and habits. And what is culture? It's man-made. It's peer pressure from the grave. So these bunch of guys came and did rules for us and left. And now we're still satisfying them. No, there is no age for marriage. Mm. You're never too old. You're never too young. Do whatever you want. Get married. If it doesn't work, get divorced. If you want to wait, wait. If you want to do this, live. Do mistakes. Learn. Allow yourself to go out there. Because only with mistakes we learn.
I love that.
Yeah.
And we've run out of time now. But what's your parting message?
My what?
Parting message. Final advice for everyone.
Parting message is... I will leave you with a piece of advice. And it's a beautiful quote by Rumi. I love Rumi. Like the most spiritual soul I've ever seen. His words are beautiful. And he always says, it's my favorite quote. He says, between what's right and wrong, there's a garden. I'll meet you there. And which means that it doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean you're wrong. There's somewhere in between, which is a beautiful garden. Let's meet there. Where we agree to disagree, where we can accept our differences, where we don't judge each other, where you can be you, I can be me, and we meet in between and no one is right, no one's wrong. And if you take this, in the beginning, when I heard this quote, I was still at the beginning of my journey. I didn't get it. I was like, oh my God, that's so nice. No judgment. Now, after doing the deep healing, going deeply in the core of healing, now I get what he means. He means that we can meet each other in somewhere more beautiful than my side or your side. And that's what people tend to forget, where compassion, empathy, and sympathy is. Mm-hmm. And my advice is just, if you've ever meet or see or feel anything different or a person that's different, instead of fight or flight, either running away or fighting with it, accept it. There's room for love. And when there's loving and when there's no judging, there's room for loving, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's all I'm going to say. Just because things are different and they don't look like you, they don't act like you, it doesn't mean they don't belong. We all have a free will. We have the right to live. We have the right to practice.
That was beautiful. As always.
I love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much for being here and for learning from you. I feel like we could go on forever.
Oh yeah, me and you?
Yeah.
That's why I love to come back. I feel like me and you can go on and on.
Literally,
and on.
Literally. We'll do a part three. Hopefully not in 2 years.
But how beautiful that in this podcast, you got to experience what I said, which is the numbers. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It is because
can't deny it anymore.
Can't deny, you know. But thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.